This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, Tee Shau Eek. It's our open clinic show today. And on this episode, we're talking about everything to do with hearing and related problems. So joining me via Zoom is Niao Jensen. He's an audiologist, and so he'll be prepared to answer your questions to do with hearing loss, anything that you are concerned about when it comes to, well, hearing issues. So our lines are open. Call 03-7733-2900, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. How are you today, Jensen?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to today's segment.
Absolutely. Jensen, I think, just to make sure that we are all familiar with, as we go on to talk about hearing problems later, I think it's good to get a basic understanding of exactly how the ear works. If you're going to be referring to different parts of the ear later, I think it would be good to get an explanation from you.
Yeah, so we will be speaking about how the ear works in two separate sections. One is called the hearing, and the other is called the balance. One is to do with the sounds that we hear. The other has to do with our balance mechanism, which also works together with other systems, including vision and proprioception. And how do our ears work? Very important question. We will be looking at hearing, first of all. Hearing involves four sections. Basically the external ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. And since I can't show you the picture on radio, I just want to quickly walk you through. So you just close your eyes and imagine you're now standing in front of a huge cave, and you see a very huge door to the cave, and that huge structure that's joined to the opening of the cave is called the pinna. So that's where we can see everybody has this pinna, which collects sound. And this is directing sound to the opening in the cave. So as you walk further into the cave, that is what we call the ear canal, you will notice that there are little short hairs where you're walking. So now you're walking into the ear canal and you see that there's hair, but it only stops at the outer one-third of the journey. You walk further in, you notice there's no more hair on the ground. That's because the outer one-third is where all the hair is, and that's where you have the earwax. And we will come to that when it talks about the problem. And after you go all the way in, you will see a huge wall in front of you is called the eardrum. And if you tap on it, dum-dum, that's where the vibrations happen. And just behind the drum, we will come to the next section of the journey, which is called the middle ear. So in the middle part of the ear is where you have the three little bones, the smallest bones in the body. And this part of the ear called the middle ear, their job is to amplify sound. So if you look up into this second room called the middle ear, you will have many structures, and you will see that if you look further up, that's where your brain is. If you look on where your feet are, below you is where the blood vessels are. There's a huge blood vessel passing by. And if you look forward to the front of you, you will see some structures that connect to the eustachian tube, which goes all the way down to your throat. And if you are standing looking further in, you will be having a huge structure called the promontory. And it looks a little bit like a snail, the cochlear structure. That's where we call the inner ear. That's the third chamber. So remember, you're from the external part of the ear, you're walking in. And that's the first part called the external ear. Then you pass the eardrum, you'll come into the middle ear. And then if you go past the promontory section, you'll come to the inner ear. That's where you will find lots and lots of hair. And it's swishing in the fluids. Okay, so that's where we call the inner ear. And as the hair swishes, you will find that it goes in sync with the sound that's coming in. And finally, the fourth part, this is where we have to climb all the way to the brain. So the cochlea will send the signals due to all the swishing. It will generate electricity reaching the brain, and the brain will interpret all these electrical signals as sound.
And so that is the process or the journey, right? In order to translate what we hear into our brain telling us this is what you are actually hearing. And so that's one job of the ear. You also mentioned balance. How much of that part of the ear is related to its hearing job?
Yes. So as audiologists, we have two parts to our role. We deal with the hearing and we deal with the balance as well. And some audiologists like me focus more on the hearing part. And we normally hand the job of the balance to the ENT specialist. But there are audiologists who deal with the balance mechanism. Okay, so the balance is slightly different. The balance doesn't relate to what we hear, but the balance part of the ear helps you to keep your head in position, to know whether you're upside down or right side up. When you move your head to the right or move your head to the left, it will tell your eyes how to do the correction so that you won't get dizzy. And so sometimes when you see some movements, but your ears don't feel the movements, there is out of sync, you will feel some dizzying sensations. So the vestibular part has to do with the balance. So if you have a balance problem, you may not be able to stand up straight. If your balance is not in order, you will feel spinning sensations that will cause you to be nauseous and not able to carry out your day-to-day activities. That's the balance part of how the ear works.
Will the balance issues affect hearing?
No. They are yes and no, actually, because they are connected. There's a part that connects the cochlear and the vestibular part where there's a semicircular canals and sometimes it relates. But most of the time, we're looking at the cochlear to do with hearing per se. Some diseases like Meniere's disease, where it's affecting both the balance and the hearing, you will get symptoms in both. Then it will help you to diagnose where exactly the problem is. You have problems somewhere along the nerves that's going to the brain. And when there is a tumor on the nerves pressing against this vestibular nerve and the hearing nerve, then you have problems in both areas. So there's two sets of wires going up to the brain, so to speak.
All right. Okay. So we have Jensen, who's an audiologist on our Open Clinic show today. We're discussing hearing. So do call us with your questions, 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We already have a message. Amina is asking, and you had already mentioned earwax, Jensen. Amina is asking, is it advisable to get earwax buildup professionally removed? A second part to her question is, I know using cotton buds to clean the ear is a bad practice, but alternatives don't feel as satisfying. What would you advise? So firstly, should earwax be professionally removed?
Yes, that's a question that normally the ENTs will answer. This is where they come in. But audiologists also have to deal with it. Earwax, we understand from studying how the ear works, as I mentioned, the outer ear, the first third part of the journey into your ear canal has hair. So this will help to remove the wax naturally. So long as you don't introduce anything into your ear canals, they will just come out naturally. So it's hard to believe, but that's how the ear works. So as the skin of the hair grows outwards, the earwax get carried outwards. But what happens is when we try and introduce or help the ear to clean itself, we take a cotton earwax,
the cotton buds, yeah.
Yeah, so when we stuff it in, we are pushing the wax further into the journey. So remember, as you were walking in, only the first third, the one third, the outer one third has hair. Inner two-thirds does not have hair. So once you push the wax into the second part of it, the inner two-thirds, that's where you need professional help. So unless you do something about it, then you need professional help. If you don't touch your ears, they should clean itself. But if you do introduce cotton into your ears, you stuff things into your ears, then definitely you will need professional help. And please see the ENT. Do not try to use anything like wax, candle waxing and not ear waxing. There are dangers to that. So I leave the ENTs to deal with the wax, but primarily, no, do not put anything smaller than your elbow into your ear.
I think that's easy advice to remember. How would you know that? And of course, we all know we shouldn't be introducing anything to push the earwax in. But in terms of it actually affecting how we feel or what we hear, is there a way for us to gauge that, okay, it's gone past that point and we're going to have to go and see a doctor?
Oh, yes. Quite frequently, what happens is the wax buildup is over time. And it'll come to a point where you will suddenly get a whole wall of wax. So what happens is it starts off little by little, but it accumulates because you keep using the cotton bud. So over time, it forms a wall of wax. So that totally blocks out the sound. And what happens is when you bathe or shower and water gets in and it mixes with the earwax, it sort of expands and poof, you get this large wall of blockage that the sound cannot get through. Then you'll definitely see ENT for cleaning.
All right. So keep those questions coming in. I'm sure a lot of them are related to our daily lives and things that perhaps we've just, you know, always wondered about and never had a chance to ask somebody. So the number to call is 0377332900. You can also WhatsApp 0187898899. We're discussing everything to do with hearing and its related problems today on our open clinic segment together with Niao Jensen and audiologist. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break to discuss more about hearing and to get to more questions. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my guest today, audiologist Niao Jensen. It's our open clinic show today, and we're talking about hearing problems. So get your questions in. You can call 0377332900. You can also WhatsApp us at 0187898899. Just very quickly, Jensen, you've already sort of taken us through that journey from the moment that the external ear captures sound, how it travels through the different parts, very, very important and quite fragile parts in the inside the middle and the inner ear before the brain receives these signals and tells us what we're listening to, right? So I know this is going to be a big question, but what are some of the things that could go wrong with any of these parts or the process that would lead to hearing problems?
Yes, that's a very important question, and I will walk you through again. So remember our journey, we're going to walk through three rooms. So as we go in, remember the first part is called the external ear. The external ear's job is to collect sound. So anything that can obstruct this canal or this tunnel will cause a hearing problem. But this will be mostly what we call a conductive loss. That means the sound cannot pass through. So whether it's a growth blocking this entrance, whether there's a lot of wax blocking this entrance, whether there's blood that is hardened due to some trauma or injury to this external part, the collection of sound, that's where we have the external ear related problems, right? So if there's a tumor, there's a growth, there's something blocking, so this part can be dealt with by the ENT surgeons very easily by removing the structures that are blocking. So then we have the eardrum. So that's the eardrum, that's another important part where it vibrates. So every sound that we hear is picked up by this little thin membrane-like structure which vibrates. So anything that stops the vibration will also cause hearing problems. So if we go to the next room, which is called the middle ear. So if the eardrum is perforated, for example, you try to clean your ears with this cotton earbud kind of thing, and then what happens is you sneeze or somebody bangs into your arm while you're cleaning your ear. So the cotton gets perforates through the eardrum, then you have a hearing problem again. In the middle ear, as I said, there are, we call it the six walls of the middle ear cavity where infections can happen because it's closed and it's also linked to the nose through the eustachian tube. Sometimes you have infection in this area. So viral infection, any nose problems, throat problems, or any just diseases in the middle ear, it can go bad. And if it goes upwards, it will affect your brains. If it goes down, there's blood circulation. If it goes back, it will disrupt the mastoid cavities, and it goes front. So there's a lot of things that can happen in the middle part of the ear. So that will also cause what we call a conductive loss. That means it cannot conduct sound through. So external ear is to collect sound. Middle ear is to amplify sound. So everything you hear gets amplified because of the middle ear's job. So anything that damages the middle ear, it will cause you to hear sounds very, very softly. So that's why if you use to listen to somebody speaking and you use a recorder to tape what is being said, you notice that you hear more than what the recording actually picked up. That's the job of your middle ear. So again, that can be caused by all these infections in the middle ear. Mm. And finally, we come to the inner ear. That's where the sensitive area is. The swishing of these hair cells in this fluid can be disrupted by our viruses. Again, even COVID, right? Some have found some links because it's a virus. So if it's affecting this area, it will also cause hearing difficulties. But most of all, now we have to remember that the hearing happens at the brain, right? Most of the time we focus on the ear, but the ear is just a detection system. It detects, amplifies, and sends the brain waves with electricity. But if the brain has difficulty processing the sound, so now we have what we call auditory processing problems, where the detection is fine, but they can't make out what is being said. So this is a major problem that we are working with, and there are a lot of issues, and so it's not so simple and not so straightforward. But most of the time, we're talking about how to help the ears. We'll be dealing with hearing aids, cochlear implants, bone anchored implants. This all have to do with the reception part of hearing.
All right. You know, we've got messages and questions coming in fast and furious, but just a reminder, you can call us at 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 for your questions related to hearing problems. I'm going to take this one from Jamal, who's asking, you know, after a swim or a shower, what is the best way to remove water that has become lodged in the ears?
Okay, another question for the ENT especially, but audiologists deal with them. We are not exactly doing it, but this is just a common practice. When water gets into your ear, you don't try and jump, right? The more you jump, you may slip and fall and cause other problems. And you do not try to pop your ears. Don't put anything into your ears. So this sounds very strange, but you are to pour water into your ear to get the water out. Yes, you heard me correctly. You have to add in more water and let the water sort of connect and drain itself out.
All right. Any guidance as to just how you should do that? It sounds a bit, dangerous to attempt.
Actually, how did the water... what happens is the water got in because you were swimming. So you just go back into the swimming pool, put your head in the water and come out very gently. Let the water flow in and it will flow back out. It's because of the... Quite detailed to explain though. But basically, it's just to put the water in and it will flow out together. Don't jump, especially at the edge of a swimming pool, very dangerous and slippery. And sometimes it'll just dry up by itself. Unless there's wax in the ear, that's a bit harder. You feel like there's water in the ear, but actually it's your wax that has expanded, causing you to have that feeling of fullness. And it's not exactly water in your ears. So the ENT can take a look and help you better.
All right. Again, look for professional help. We've got a caller on the line. Johnny. Hi. Good afternoon, Johnny. You have a question.
Hi. I have a question for the doctor. I have this dizziness. I'm 60 years old. I have this dizziness about the past 10 years. I went to the GHR. So I get treatment from the ENT. They give me some medicine, but I couldn't take the medicine because it caused my gastric, if rather made my gastric worse. After that, the doctor say they recommend me some medicine, but it must be bought outside. It's not available in the GH. So I did not further proceed, so I just let it be. So the condition still persists with me. Sometimes I feel that I'm overstressed, overtired. The dizziness come back to me. I find that I cannot even stand up. So I cannot even drive. So what's that? What does the good doctor say? Any things I can prevent it from coming back? You know, this dizziness?
Okay.
Can it be treated permanently?
All right. Jensen, is there anything you'd like to clarify with Johnny before we answer the question?
Yeah, Johnny has asked a very important question. It's bothering him. There's this dizziness. So the best is if you can see an audiologist or an ENT to sit down and walk through with you. If you have already seen an ENT and the problem is not resolved, perhaps you can see an audiologist. They have a further diagnostic test to see what actually is the problem. Because the issue of dizziness sometimes is mixed up with other similar symptoms. So we may call it dizziness, but it could be due to blood pressure issues. It could be the sugar level issues. It could be diet issues. It could be vision issues. It could be proprioception issues. So it is best if you can see an audiologist focusing specifically on balance disorders. They have diagnostic equipment that can walk you through and then pinpoint what exactly you're having. So it may not be directly related to the vestibular system per se. So it's best if you have a hearing, a balance specialist, an audiologist specializing in balance. And you can check out the list with the Malaysian Association of Speech, Language and Hearing. They have a list of professionals that may be able to guide you through. And having said that, you may also benefit from physiotherapists and occupational therapists who may be able to help you with exercises to help your brain get the normalization of this sensation. You can also get better input from an ENT as well, who may be able to assess if it is a benign positional vertigo. So I can't tell exactly unless you have to sit down with the audiologist, the ENT, and the physiotherapist to work through what exactly the symptoms you're having.
All right. So there are a few options there for Johnny. That's the Malaysian Association of
Speech, Language and Hearing.
Speech, Language and Hearing. They do have a website. So, you know, anyone who needs to find these experts, I think they have a directory. I've been on the website before.
Yes. There's also another association called the Malaysian National Society of Audiology, MANSA. MANSA, MANSA. So they are also having the list of audiologists that you can also pursue.
All right. Just one last question, because I think Johnny is concerned about, you know, what he can access through the government health system. Are these experts that you listed out, you know, the balance specialist, a specializing audiologist, physiotherapist, are they available in the government system?
Yes. Yes, they are available. And if he needs specific contacts, he will have to speak to me offline, because I won't be able to give him the list with me right now. You can speak to the government officers, the audiologists. There are those who specialize in balance disorders.
All right. We have quite a number of questions coming in. Let's take this one. May I know what are the cures, what is the cure for vestibular neuritis? Would acupuncture help?
Okay, good question. I'd like to know the answer as well. So what happens is balance disorders, as I said, not very simple to deal with. And audiologists who specialize in these balance disorders will have to assess, is it related to the vestibular area? In this question, it's very specific. Yes, it is. And so whether acupuncture helps, I'm not an acupuncturist, so I'm not able to comment on that. But definitely, audiologists will be able to help you through the balance disorders.
Okay. We've got quite a few questions related to the use of headphones. I'm going to try and combine them. Number one, which is better, headphones or earphones? I presume they mean the sort of like the bud kind of earphones. Perhaps you can take that one first, Jensen.
Yes, that's a question I used to get when I first graduated. They think that audiologists sell audio equipment. We don't. We do with hearing. But that's a good question as well, because when you think of whether it's over the ears or in your ears, the main issue is duration and loudness. Remember two things, duration and loudness. Whether you use it over your ears or in your ears, how loud are you listening to it? And number two, how long are you listening it to? So for example, if you're in a quiet place, you may be listening, say, to between volume 1 to 10, you're listening to volume 2. But when once you're in a noisy background, in a bus that's moving, you may find that you can't hear anything at 2. So you start to push up the volume all the way till 9. They say, oh, now I can hear. But you're actually damaging your hearing, whether it's over the ear or in the ear, because the loudness level is in the dangerous zone. Of course, as I said, the second one is how long are you listening it to? How loud and how long? So if you're listening it to volume 9 and you're listening to the journey from Malacca to KL, so that's a high chance you will get damage to your hearing, especially the tiny hair cells swishing in the fluids.
All right. And so when it comes to loudness, then how do we know? Is there a standard in terms of how many decibels is safe?
Again, a very good question. There is no standardization across all equipment. So Apple has this lock that they say they have included in their equipments that you can lock it so that it doesn't exceed this level. But it's subjective because if I have a hearing loss, I may want to listen to a louder level than a person with normal hearing. So the best is if you can get it measured. If you visit an audiologist, they can do what we call a real ear measurement. They put a little microphone in your ear and ask you to switch on to the level you enjoy, and will tell you how loud it is and how long you can listen it to. You can also go and visit UKM. That's where I came from, UKM in KL. They have a very nice mannequin called Jasper. So you put your earbuds or your earphones onto Jasper, then Jasper will tell you how loud you are listening it to.
Oh, that's brilliant. We should all visit Jasper, I think.
Yeah.
And last...
Audiology clinic.
All right. That's in UKM. Last question related to headphones for now. Are noise-cancelling headphones actually bad for your hearing?
Noise-cancelling. Yeah, actually, noise-cancelling works by introducing some of the systems. They work by introducing another wave to cancel out the noise. So the issue again is how loud are you listening to? Of course, when you cancel out the noise, then you may be listening to a lower level, which is good. But if the background noise is really, really loud, you can't actually get rid of it by just using noise cancellation. So again, as I said, if you can visit an audiologist with a real ear measurement system, he or she will be able to tell you exactly how loud and how long you can safely listen to your music.
So you can't really give an answer then, can you, in terms of like... Are earphones worse than headphones or noise cancelling? It still comes back to your gauge of how long and how loud. Is that right?
Yes, but the WHO, the World Health Organization, they came up with this 40%. So whatever your level is, they said keep it to below 40% of the maximum. So the thing is that this is a very general guideline. How much is 40%? If my maximum is only 60 decibels and 40% is only less than that, I can't actually hear anything at all. But if my maximum is 200 and I'm listening at 40, it could be very, very loud. So the American Academy of Audiology say, whatever volume you're listening to, just turn it to the left. Okay, but of course, that only works back in the 90s. Yeah, you have to turn it to the left means your volume has to go down. So whatever you like, just turn it down at least one or two notch. You will be safer.
All right. Okay. Keep those questions coming in. You can call 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I'm speaking today to Niao Jensen. He's an audiologist and he's answering a whole lot of questions about hearing, its related problems, devices related to hearing. He's been answering a lot of questions about the use of headphones and earphones. So keep those questions coming in. But in the meantime, we'll go for a quick break. Stay tuned to Health and Living on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. It's our open clinic show today. We're discussing hearing-related problems. On the line with me, audiologist Niao Jensen. So you can call us at 0377-332-900 or WhatsApp 0187-89-8899 if you have any questions that you'd like Jensen to address. We have one here from Bay who's asking, is going to the cinema often bad for hearing due to, you know, the loud noise? And I guess I want to tag on a little bit to that, Jensen. Are there kinds of, you know, exposure to loud noises as well?
Thank you so much. I was waiting for that question. Very, very useful day-to-day question, right? Yeah, how do we protect ourselves in the real world if you're not listening to headphones and you're going to a party? Okay, you have what we call a handphone, and today's handphones have a lot of apps. What you can go and do is download an app with sound level meter, okay? A sound level meter. So what happens is you can run the app while you're in that cinema and look at the level of sound. So if you notice it is above 85, 90 decibels, that's quite dangerous. You should be using earplugs, or you can even use special earplugs to help you hear conversation but not damage your ears. And Apple Watch, not sure if you can promote that. They have a function on their phone where you can actually switch on and they actually protect your ears. I think it's very innovative of them that your watch can actually tell you how loud the environment you're in. And so that's a good thing you can use. Download apps that can measure the level of loudness, and anything above 85, 90, that's not a good place to be, or you can bring down your sound. Of course, we are not asking you to avoid these places if you can, but these are places you go at for leisure. So do get a set of earplugs. There are many types available. Some are just completely blocking everything out. That's not what you want. There are more comfortable ones. Speak to your audiologist. Some of them may be able to help you get these high quality ones where they can allow you to still enjoy the conversation at a safe level. So WHO has been promoting safe listening. So that's what I'll say as well. Safe listening. Know your environment. Use all the apps available and keep yourself safe, because your hearing cannot be repaired.
That's a good point. Now, we have quite a number of questions related to tinnitus. So I assume that means ringing in the ears, right?
That's correct.
Just very quickly, what is the cause of this ringing in the ears?
Okay, ringing in your ears is a sound that you can hear in your ear, or you can perceive it buzzing. And this happens because of a few factors. So it's not so simple as a one answer. The fact that it is so prevalent is that when you go surf websites, they will tell you all ways to cure your tinnitus. It is something widespread. So tinnitus can be divided into a few ways of looking at it. And what we call objective tinnitus, that means the person beside you actually can hear the sound, okay? Whereas if it's subjective, means you hear it, but nobody else hears it. And how does this happen? One of which is exposure to very, very loud sounds. I had it myself when I was a little boy. I was playing with my friends at the playground and they were putting fireworks, you know, the red firecrackers. And what happened was they lighted it and they all ran. Then I was just standing there looking at nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. So I went closer to inspect.
Oh dear.
And boom! And then for the next 5 to 10 minutes, all I heard was and I couldn't hear anything else. So I had a temporary hearing loss. Thankfully, it was only temporary. After that, the hearing recovered and the tinnitus went away. So a large portion of time, tinnitus relates to hearing. When your hearing goes away, the tinnitus gets louder. Another reason it gets louder is because you become more aware of it. We have cases, remember during our clinic days in UKM, people will not realize they have this ringing sound because it has been with them their whole life. But the moment we tell them there's tinnitus and they get worried, suddenly the level of loudness gets so bad that they can't stand it anymore. So tinnitus is, to a certain certain circumstances, you can cure it. So it's treatable. But in certain circumstances, it is only manageable. So in cases where we can't treat it, we have to manage it. And there are ways to deal with it to help it become more tolerable. Sometimes it's also due to medication. Some medication after taking will cause you to hear this sound. The moment you stop the medication, the sound goes away. So again, tinnitus, light, balance problems, you have to sit down and talk to the audiologist and walk you through. There are a few checklists that they can use to help you assess how bad your tinnitus is. And yes, in some times it can be curable, and in some instances it's only manageable, but there is help available.
So Han Wei is asking, does the ringing in the ear, is it a sign that they will be experiencing hearing loss? Does it lead on?
No, it's the other way. Most of the time it's because you have a loss, you may not notice it, but you will notice the ringing sound first. Having said that, there are cases where no hearing loss is related, but there is still that ringing sound, right? Sometimes it's wax. When earwax is blocking your ear, you can't hear outside sounds. Internally, you will start to notice it. You can also try it. You go and visit a very quiet, quiet place. One of the quietest places I know so far is the UKM Audiology Clinic. They have sound booth that cut off all noise. You can hear your heartbeat, and definitely you will hear tinnitus, even though you don't have it, or actually you don't notice it. And so everyone has it, but it's not a sign that you will have a hearing loss. But if you keep getting it, like for example, you go to a disco, you come back, there's a tinnitus, then it goes away. You go for the next night and come back with a tinnitus and it goes away. That is a sign of hearing loss coming. Oh. It's not because of the tinnitus, but because your hearing loss is beginning. So you're starting to notice the tinnitus.
That's very interesting. We have another question here from May, who's asking, with age, if hearing becomes a problem as you get older, are there supplements you could take or exercises to improve hearing?
Yes, I get asked a lot of that as well. According to the WHO, 25% of those above 60 years old will experience disabling hearing loss. So, only 25%, so not everyone, yeah? Don't be afraid. So how to prevent? So make sure you are always listening safely. How long are you listening it to? How loud are you listening it to? As for supplements, you may have to ask the dietitians. As audiologists, no, not yet. There are some medication that can help sudden onset hearing loss. For example, if you're sleeping nicely and you wake up, the whole world becomes totally silent. You can't hear anything. That is a medical emergency. Please see the ENT immediately. Within the 3 days, it's critical. They can still do something to rescue your hearing. So, but you're asking about prevention of loss. It's just keep listening safely. And as for foods, no, I'm very sorry. I'm not able to give you any supplements yet.
Yeah, we Malaysians love our supplements, you know. Jensen, you said that, you know, you really want people to pay attention to get hearing related problems taken care of, right? To see the right expert for it, because you can't bring back your hearing after it's gone. Now, in your experience though, how many of us do ignore the early signs and leave it until it's too late? And, you know, so then at what point should we recognize that this is not something you can just brush off as temporary or related to aging? At what point must we go and seek attention for a hearing problem?
The short answer, whenever it interrupts your life. That is a simple answer. If you find having people to repeat themselves, having people to turn up the volume louder, or finding that everybody is mumbling around you, so it's time to take action. Do not wait. It may be too late. So again, as I said, there are apps available. You can, I'm not promoting any company, yeah? This is the WHO. They have included an app where you can download and test your hearing. And then if you notice that they say you have a hearing loss, then you can go see an audiologist to get your hearing checked. And if it's a medical related disorder, they will refer you off to the ENTs that will also help you check. So if you are too shy, the main issue I find in my experience in the last 21 years is the fact that people wait too long. It's very long, because what happens is they will rather avoid people, avoid conversations, and they think that avoiding is helping, but it's not, because another issue will come up, which is dementia, due to lack of conversations, due to lack of engagement socially. And by withdrawing yourselves, you will be exposing yourself to more problems than required.
Just very quickly, Han Wei again with another question. Is it advisable to go to sleep while wearing AirPods, the earphones? So Han Wei said they're asking because they used to sleep with binaural sounds to sleep better.
Okay, this is an experience for my patient. So firstly, as I said, if you're listening to soothing sounds, it's very, very, very soft, it's okay. Okay, the key there is must be very soft. Okay, what happened was I saw this unfortunate lady. She was due for a surgery. I think it was for her leg or something. And then she was in a hospital, which was very, very noisy. So she was bored. She was alone. So what happened was she put an earphone into one side of her ear. And because the hospital environment was so noisy, she had to turn up the volume loud enough to hear. Guess what? The next morning, she woke up with a hearing loss on that ear. So don't sleep with the earphones if they are too loud. Again, loudness, how loud, how long?
And if you're going to sleep with it, definitely too long, right? Again, coming back to tinnitus, Ng is asking, will temporomandibular disorder lead to tinnitus?
Okay, TMJ, the temporomandibular joint, that can also cause you to have some sound. As I said, so tinnitus is any sound that you perceive. So some of this is like the TMJ clicking sound when you open your jaw, click, click, click. So that is actually an objective one where people can actually hear it. But tinnitus is what we call bothersome tinnitus is what we're looking for, where it interrupts your sleep, interrupts your conversation, causes you stress, causes you to have a terrible life. So that one we really need to treat. Whereas for other sounds, maybe we can get rid of them, but not all. So as I said, it's either we can treat them or we have to manage them. As long as it interrupts your life, it gives you a poor quality of life and you need some help for it, some advice, please visit your physician, your ENT, your audiologist.
All right. Just to wrap up, can you again provide those resources that people can, look for an audiologist that's near them?
Okay, let me just get the website correctly.
So that was the Malaysian Association for Speech, Language and Hearing.
Yeah, so that's MASH. .org.my.
All right.
And the other one is Mansa, MANSA .org.my, the Malaysian National Society of Audiologists.
All right. Fantastic. And, a resource right there for you to look for the right person to go to. Would you have a final take-home message for us today, Jensen?
Yes, I would really love everyone to make full use of technology available to enjoy the sounds around you and to download the apps to maybe just out of curiosity, find out your level of loudness that you're living in and how loud you have been exposed to. So get your help done early. Make sure your sounds that you hear are joyful. Again, joyful sounds. You want to hear sounds that are happy. You want to hear sounds that will give you a better quality of life. And so help is available, whether it's tinnitus, whether it's vestibular, whether it's hearing. We are all here to serve you better.
All right. Thank you so much, Jensen. I've been speaking to Niao Jensen, an audiologist who's been walking us through how the ear works, what are the common issues related to hearing. We've been answering so many of your questions. We hope to have you back again, Jensen, one day. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.